eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What we have to do, we have to be honest with ourselves about what we want out of all this. What's the motivation here? I'll tell you mine. What's your motivation here? What's everyone's motivation in the college football room right now? I think some may not be as they appear. This is the Late Kick Extra Podcast. I'll do the intro in a little while. I've got too much to say right now. This thing was supposed to be out on Tuesday, and then a bunch of stuff happened on Tuesday in the world of college football, so I'm releasing it on Wednesday. Look, we got to be honest with what we want. Probably call this disclosure and may need to do it more often. I love college football. I get to talk about it and do a show about it all year. I work for a company that appreciates that fact. They don't make me talk about any other sport. I would quit if they tried to make me talk about other sports. I'm solely focused on college football. I grew up on it. I'm just like you guys. I grew up on it. I fantasized about being able to afford to go to games. Then I could afford to go to some games, never many games, and didn't get the great seats like management would have necessarily. But I love the sport. I appreciate the tradition. I appreciate the pageantry. I think there is a thing or a set of things that makes college football great that don't necessarily exist in any other sport, whether pro or collegiate. I don't see that special mixture that makes college football really wonderful in my mind anywhere else. So my opinion is always going to be slanted towards hoping the things and decisions that are made are being made with the best interest of college football in mind, over and above any one person or any one group of people. And that includes coaches, and that includes players. If sometimes a negative thing has to happen to you for the greater good of college football, chances are I'm going to support that thing. With very few exceptions, I'm going to support that thing. Now, not everyone's going to agree with that. Of course you're not. That's why this is called disclosure. I'm giving you my point of view on this. I'm telling you the angle I'm coming at it from. You can come at it from your angle, but candidly, knowing our audience and knowing college football fans in general like I do, I think most of you feel the way I feel. With minor differences of opinion here and there, as we talk about all the time on this show, I think most of you feel that way. So if you were living your normal life yesterday, don't really know why I'm teeing this up the way I am. There's a lot of stuff happening right now, but one thing in particular that happened was Nick Saban and a group of other people went up to Capitol Hill yesterday, and they were having a committee hearing on NIL, and just the state of college football in general is really what it turned into. And Nick Saban had a lot to say. You've probably heard the clips by now, but if you didn't, it was basically Nick Saban saying, what I came to know college football as, what I've loved about college football has totally changed. Everything I knew about college football has totally changed. Now the recruiting process or the player retention process is not about relationships. It's not about education. It's not about all the fundamental pillars of college athletics. It's just about how much money can I make? And that's where a lot of people stopped listening, apparently. Nick Saban went on to talk repeatedly about how he supports players being able to make money. He supported NIL in the classical sense. He supported revenue sharing, which doesn't even exist right now. Irrelevant, because a lot of people had long since stopped listening, because no one really listens to these things. They look for a soundbite. They look for a little snapshot that forwards an idea they already have pre-existing in their minds. And that's the way of the world in general. It just happens to have migrated over here to college football. So what I found myself thinking yesterday as the evening wore on and the takes continued to roll in was, I really wish we would have sent a homeless person to Capitol Hill yesterday. And that may sound a little crude, but I mean what I say. Because as far as I could tell, 9/10 of the people who were offering the most pushback on Nick Saban's philosophies and takes yesterday weren't offering the pushback on his philosophies or takes. They just had a problem that Nick Saban was the one saying it. They can't get over that net worth in the probable nine-figure range by now. They can't get over the fact that the guy was earning $10 and $11 and $12 million a year on the back end of his career, because people who earn that kind of money in their minds cannot credibly present any dissenting viewpoint on the state of NIL and the state of college athletics and state of pay for play in general. It just doesn't matter. All you're going to see is a flood of tweets talking about how much the guy earns and how irrelevant that makes his voice. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we seriously would have been better off picking someone up off the street, putting talking points in his or her hands. It's the age-old message versus messenger situation. I mean, you learn this in kindergarten, at least we did. The right message is the right message. Truth is truth, regardless of which mouth it comes out of. Your mortal enemy, Satan himself, could show up at your doorstep, and if he says, don't touch the stovetop because it's really hot and it's going to burn you, you'd be wise to call the cops and get him off your front porch, but don't touch the stovetop because he was actually right about that. I know we have swinging philosophies out there and varying takes on AI, but I almost wish we would have gotten an AI bot to speak for Nick Saban yesterday. Then we could have just focused on the substance and it would have cut down about 90% of the reaction. Look, most people don't really have any answers for this. Most people really are just seeking 38 retweets. We're surrounded by an army full of folks who have screamed and complained about college athletics and the state of college athletics, and someone's got to do something. And as soon as anyone tries to do something, instead of listening, and instead of offering constructive feedback and trying to advance a conversation, they just bash the person in hopes of getting 43 retweets. That's more valuable at the end of the day. So look, here's the bottom line. Saban yesterday said a lot of stuff that was dead on the money. I don't care if he's worth $80 billion. A lot of what he said is dead on the money. College athletics should be different than pro sports. It should be. Now I'm speaking personally. This is my view on this. In a perfect world, college athletics should be different. We shouldn't have an open free market in college athletics. I believe it's best when it is tied and woven into an educational structure. I do believe it's best when the classical term student athlete really exists. Now, it is a bastardized term, and the NCAA has fumbled the bag nine ways from Sunday, and I don't have very much respect for that organization, as anyone who listens to me knows. And the way they use that term is garbage. But in my real world, in my perfect version, student athlete exists, and it exists in the way it's supposed to exist. Again, in my perfect world. In my perfect world, these college football players are not employees, yet they participate in a revenue sharing program. And that would benefit them a whole lot more than the alternative. I think right now, there are some, I'm not going to call them bad actors necessarily, but people I don't align with, per se, who have driven by college football, and they're offering a lot of takes on this thing right now. It has nothing to do with the game on the field, and therefore I know a lot of you ignore it, but I don't, because I'm fascinated by the business mechanisms of college football in our industry as well. And I've noticed that there are a lot of people shouting about employment versus non-employment and labor unions and whatnot, and all you want to know is what time the Texas A&M Texas game is this fall. Hey, that's fine. But these folks are shouting from the rooftops right now about this sort of thing and about what's best for the player, what's best for the employee, as they should be defined. And here's what's really happening. It's the same thing that happened in 2020. And I want you to be careful with this. I learned in 2020. What happened in 2020 was the world shut down, have a global pandemic descend upon us, And for a long time, it looked like we didn't have college football that year. And you noticed, as I did, a lot of voices were all of a sudden really loud in the college football space and the sports space in general. And they were shouting louder than anyone else, and they had takes on everything, and they knew what the protocols and procedures should be. And you had your opinion, and I had mine, but boy, they had theirs, and they were really loud. And you haven't seen them in years, have you? There were voices who were very, very loud in the sports media space in 2020 that you haven't heard from in the better part of 3 years. The reason is because their cause subsided, therefore they had no purpose being here anymore. They were never about sports. They were never about college football or NBA. They just pretended to be because it suited what their agenda was at the moment. And I don't care what your viewpoint or my viewpoint was on it. I don't care what your politics or my politics were, but I am here doing a college football podcast, and I'm telling you, there were some frauds that entered the space in 2020, and they tried to force their way of thinking on you, and they used various media networks to do so, and now they're gone. And it's happening again, guys, is my whole point. So be very careful, because these are powerful voices, and they're very persuasive voices, and they're going to come in, and they're going to try and convince you that college athletics would be best served to go this direction over here, or that direction over there. And a lot of it's going to have to do with players being employees, or what status should they have, and should we unionize this and unionize that? And I'm going to pause one more time and tell you, I don't particularly care what your opinion or my opinion is on it. It's all political, okay? So it just devolves into arguing about nothingness. I don't care. Here's all I'm trying to tell you. Be careful not to let those folks claiming to care about athletics be the ones who shape your opinion. Shape your own opinion. And if you want to listen to them as a reference point, that's cool. But don't allow them to come in, grab the mic, reshape fundamentally college athletics, and then drop the mic and leave. And 3 years later, you're saying, wow, where did Sally and where did John go? I don't even hear from them anymore. Remember how influential they were in changing this sport back in the day? Yeah, that can happen if you're not careful. And so in my perfect world, the reason I'm saying that is I don't think the employment model is the best course of action for the sport or for the players. I believe the players have it as good as they could possibly have it right now. Because right now, there are no rules. You're almost in a true Wild West situation where they could never make more money more readily than they can right now. That's not going to last. Everyone knows that. If you seriously think major college athletics is just going to let that go unfettered, you're crazy. They're going to do something one way or the other to rein it in. Your best bet, both as a sport for fans and as players and coaches, is get the conferences to take care of it. You're in the SEC, you're in the Big Ten, you're in the ACC, Big 12, you've got media rights deals. Cut the players in on it. Saban advocated for this yesterday. In fact, most coaches I know advocate for that. They're longing for that day where they don't have to be talking about how much a left tackle is going to earn if he plays for South Carolina. That left tackle knows how much he's going to earn because South Carolina's in the SEC, and this is going to be their cut of the television rights revenue. That's the way it should be in the perfect world. And in exchange for that share of revenue, which is going to be pretty substantial, by the way, you sign off on staying at a college for a couple of years. And you sign off on not moving around as freely as you can right now. And you get guardrails. You just get little bumpers on the bowling lanes put back in the sport where you don't have guys playing for four teams in 6 or 7 years. It's not too much to ask. And my point there is, you can either be the person that pushes back on that and says, nope, 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 that can't happen. Nope, genie's out of the bottle, toothpaste is out of the tube, and offer nothing. Or you can be constructive and offer a solution if you don't think that works. But I circle back to what I started with. You've got to define what your purpose is. What's your motivation? If my motivation was getting players every dollar they can get, everything else be damned, I wouldn't care. I would just push recklessly for every law to be tailored around a middle linebacker at Purdue gaining maximum revenue and maximum earnings potential, cost be damned to the sport. Now, that could wreck college football in ways I never intended. That could do away with a softball team at North Dakota State, and I never intended it to happen because of the collateral damage done, or maybe not, but my point is I wouldn't care because my motivation is solely looking out for the players. Well, that's not my sole motivation. My motivation is what puts college football as a whole in the best position 5 or 10 years from now. And 5 or 10 years from now, I think what puts college football in the best position is injecting stability back into the sport while also putting more money in the players' pockets. Both of those things can happen. If you get the bad actors out of the room on both sides of the equation, by the way, and you have common sense there in the middle ground, you can get some things done. What does that sound like, by the way? You can get some things done. But I'll tell you the worst part. The worst part is a lot of people who disagree with me on this are going to have valid comebacks that I don't have an answer for because they're right. It's very unfortunate that adults in the room put the biggest flaw in the argument a long time ago. Because right now, the pushback on this is, well, coaching churn has been out of control for a long time. Why in the world should the players not be free to go wherever they want to because the coaches have? Now, let me again stop and tell you, I know on ground level, coaches are different than players. They just are. But from a 50,000-foot point of view, they're right when they say, dude, coaches are leaving left and right. There is an ungodly amount of coaching churn in this industry every year. Those coaches don't care about the stuff you're talking about. They don't care about loyalty. They don't care about maintaining stability. Coaching salaries and buyouts have been out of control for years and years and years. You're right about that. I got no pushback on it. You are right about that. I'm actually with you on that particular argument. They aren't the same. Coaches and players aren't the same. But the coaching industry not caring a bit about the principles they claim should matter for players, it does illegitimize their voice. Conferences chasing every penny they can at the expense of decades of tradition also makes their voice illegitimate. You're right about that, and I got no pushback on it. I still think reality and truth is reality and truth. I still think my argument, independent of all that, is what's best for the future of the sport. But if your pushback is, Josh, I disagree, because if coaches got to do it and if conferences got to do it, then you shouldn't be talking about policing it when players do it. If that's your pushback, I can't disagree with the logic. I certainly can't. And it's unfortunate because that means adults in the room that were very short-sighted for too long actively participated in throwing a wet blanket on what was to be the best argument about the future of the sport down the road. What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to pretend that coaching salaries and buyouts and movement hasn't been out of control? Of course it has. Am I supposed to point to the conference that's turned down money for the betterment of the sport overall? Which conference is that? I don't know which one it is. They don't exist. All the rest of them are doing it. But you know what? I think I've been on record on this particular show for many years as saying those things also aren't in the best interest of college football. So it's not like we turned a blind eye to it. Maybe some did. We didn't. Not here. We've talked about how insane and how lopsided the negotiation setting is between agents and college administrators as it relates to these ridiculous contracts for years. We've talked about how insanely greedy it's been for conferences to move and expand and contract other conferences for the sake of the almighty dollar for years. We've talked about it here. That was never in the best interest of college football either. And what did we get told? Well, we got told ratings are up, so it must be working. You know, because ratings in the here and now are an absolute reflection that positive decisions are being made in the here and now. Of course, that's being said sarcastically because it's one of the most ignorant and misinformed takes you could have. Any discernible media metric would show you that audience patterns on any platform, legacy or digital or otherwise, are well downstream of the decisions that get made. So in conclusion, yes, you can be a multi-millionaire, multi-decade successful head coach who has profited off of college football and can still have logical and well-reasoned takes on NIL. Yes, I think there are some bad actors in the room that are pushing the conversation in a direction for something other than the betterment of college football overall. Yes, I myself am biased because I myself want what's best for college football overall. Almost nobody out there is arguing that players shouldn't be able to make money. It's a total fallacy. It was the beginning of so many arguments I saw in rebuttal yesterday. These coaches don't want players to make any money while they make all the money. It's totally false. Completely false. It's been false for a long time. Most of them are advocating for players to have a more streamlined earnings structure than they have right now. And it just so happens The model people like Nick Saban and myself and many other coaches are advocating for, a true revenue sharing structure, would be better for far more players than it is right now. So I don't know if yesterday really changed anything, but it sure did get a lot of people talking. Let's talk about some actual college football. Buckeye HQ from Columbus, Ohio hit me and said, "Why hasn't the targeting rule been addressed yet in college football? Can we all agree it needs to be fixed?" Well, I think you and I can agree that it needs to be fixed. I don't think it will. You know, I'm still dumbfounded, for instance, that we have one rule for targeting, that we don't have basically a basketball system. Flagrant one, you know, I make incidental contact over the middle because it was just unavoidable because that's football. Flagrant two, I headhunted. Well, we don't discern that right now. I mean, we've got a situation where the game's happening at 100 miles an hour and you're going over the middle and you dip your head and I'm a safety and I make contact with you and you moved your body after I already initiated contact, meaning I can't control what I do from that point through the rest of the split second this takes. And because I touched your head with my head, not only do I get hit with targeting, I'm out of the game. Just like that, with no ill will, with no dirty intent whatsoever. We don't have the ability to discern that right now. Officials cannot discern that right now. If it meets the letter of the law of targeting, you're done and that's it. It's crazy that we don't have a better targeting rule than that. But here's the problem, and I've not talked about this much, but I do talk about it with people behind the scenes. There are too many legal eyes on college football now. Legal eyes meaning ambulance chasing lawyers, and they understand there's a lot of money to be made in class action lawsuits against the sport of football, the NCAA included. By the way, you want to know why the NCAA is still around? The NCAA handles a lot of the liability aspects of college football that conferences and individual universities don't want to shoulder. It takes tens of millions of dollars in liability to defend this sport every year. Just a little side note there. So they can't be seen as going backwards. It doesn't even matter if you and I think it would be what's in the best interest of the game. They can't be seen as going backwards on any kind of rule related to head injuries. So they're between a rock and a hard place right now. They know the rules are ridiculous and they don't make much sense sometimes. But my advice, I know you're going to get emotional when you see an egregious targeting foul called. I do too, and I will continue to let my emotions control me in those moments. I will continue to tweet, targeting is out of control. Targeting is broken in college football. But my advice to you is don't expect it to change anytime soon, because I don't think it is, nor is this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't even tell me you saw it coming. I didn't see it coming until 10 seconds ago. I didn't know I was doing the ad toss until 10 seconds ago. And I'm tired of people saying that the ad toss has been predictable, because quite frankly, you can criticize my college football playoff takes, you can criticize my game predictions, but when you criticize my ad toss ability, that is the slap in the face that I'm not prepared to just absorb. Next up, Jackson from Meridianville, Alabama said, what would be your perfect TV contract for the college football playoff? I'm going to spend like 30 seconds on this. I don't really have a perfect contract other than I'd like every network to have a piece of it. I would love it to be like the NFL. You know how rarely I say that. You know how rarely I say I'd love college to be like the NFL. But if you had every network with a piece of the college football playoff, to me, you have every network with viable skin in the college football game. And I know they do already, because most of the networks have college football contracts where they show various leagues, or NBC has Notre Dame. But I wish they all had a piece of the playoff pie as well. I just don't like any network controlling that vast a majority of the college football apparatus. It would never happen in the NFL, and I wish it didn't happen in college football. But let's hit Tyler next. He's also in Ohio. Sydney, Ohio, this time of year. Beautiful. Tyler said, hey, I'm wondering why everyone assumes Will Howard will start for Ohio State at quarterback when Bama and Ole Miss brought in transfers that were beat out by existing players. The Notre Dame transfer retired from football to play lacrosse after the season. Yeah, so obviously Tyler's there talking about Tyler Buckner last year. Remember, after spring, Bama brought Tyler Buckner in via the transfer portal, and there was a lot of freak out that Ty Simpson and Jalen Milrow must not be good enough. Well, they went to overtime of a playoff game with the same guy listed as the starter who was the listed starter in spring. So it was a freak out about nothing. Well, maybe not totally nothing, because Milrow did get benched two games into the season. But yeah, it turned out it wasn't as big a five-alarm crisis as they made it out to be. And the point is, there was a brief time where folks thought, hey, since Tyler Buckner got brought in, he's not being brought in to ride the bench. Remember how many times you heard that? Well, he rode the bench. And then Ole Miss brought in Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State. Spencer Sanders started 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. He's not being brought in to ride the bench. Spencer Sanders never started a down for Ole Miss. Jackson Dart, just wire to wire, the starter. So what Tyler is saying is, how come just because Will Howard's coming in there to Ohio State from Kansas State, people think he's automatically the starter? Well, Tyler, it's because he's probably going to be the starter. These are not similar situations, I don't think. They're similar in that someone's transferring in, but they're dissimilar in that Will Howard's a better quarterback than anyone that Ohio State has on their roster right now. Notice I didn't say more talented. Julian Sayin or Aaron Noland in time may very well prove out to be the more talented options, but they're not ready yet because they just got to college 5 minutes ago. So I think Will Howard will be the starter this year. I don't think it's similar to what Bama and Ole Miss did last year. Deep Ball CFB asked, is Quinn Ewers the best quarterback in the SEC from Sandy Spring, Maryland? No, I think Carson Beck is the best quarterback in the SEC. Let's go with Marvin from Peoria, Illinois. Are you going to be in the EA Sports College football game? Wouldn't that be crazy, Marvin? Wouldn't that be amazing? Anyway, we move on. Hunter from Sugar Hill, Georgia. To you, what makes a great college football uniform? What are your favorite college football uniforms? What would the Pate State uniform look like? Now I'm about to disappoint every single one of you because I got some things that I think that I believe the majority agrees with. There are other things I think where, it's probably going to be about a 50-50 split. But this thing, the uniform thing, I know that about 20 to 25% of you agree with me and the super majority disagrees. And that's just the way it's got to be. I love the basic uniforms. I love Penn State's uniform. I love Bama's uniform. I love the uniforms that look the same since before color TV was invented as they do today with minor alterations. I love it. Now, here's what's crazy about that opinion. I don't hate Oregon's uniform selection. So you've got on one hand, I love the 8 crayon box, but then someone brings the 128 Crayola Super Pack in and I say, yeah, I could get with that too. It's just the 32 and the 64 packs I don't like so much. Does that make sense? Absolutely not. Is it hypocritical? Certainly it is, but that's the way I feel about it. Steve from Millersburg, Ohio. Dude, it's an Ohio podcast today. Congratulations, everyone. Steve said, force yourself to provide one or two positives about realignment, expanded playoffs, or other changes happening. Certainly, it's not that hard. You're going to have home playoff games in an expanded playoff. It's going to be utterly insane to see LSU play on the road at Michigan. It's going to be crazy. To see Georgia go to Oregon would be absolutely insane. I've never denied that. You know, my take, Steve, has been that there is no circumstance that's totally negative. There are circumstances that may be 30-70 positive negative, and that's a bad situation in my opinion. But if you just want to talk about the 30%, man, like that's how I feel about where we're headed with the playoff. There would be some incredible moments. In fact, you can zoom it out a little bit. The playoff itself will be amazing. A 12-team playoff, which we have for like 15 more seconds, will be amazing as a product, as a standalone product. No different than March Madness. The NCAA tournament is almost upon us. It's going to be an amazing standalone product. It always is. My argument's never been otherwise. People come at me and say, how can you deny the playoff's going to be amazing? Well, I don't. I think it's going to be awesome. Why can't you see that this works so well for college basketball? Look how great the NCAA tournament is. It does work. If that's your criteria, the end of the season being great and that alone being great, it does work. I just always ask those folks, name me the three best college basketball games you watched in December this year, or January, or February. They never have an answer unless they're diehard basketball fans. And my point there should be obvious, but they look at me like I'm crazy. And I say, yeah, the playoff being awesome is great. But what does it do in the meantime? What does it take greatness away from in order to inflate itself? That's always been my takeaway. We're not doing the argument again today because that's its own podcast, but that's always been my takeaway. So yeah, Steve, it's going to be an awesome playoff. It's going to be awesome to see those road playoff games, home campus playoff games that will be incredible.
Must be 21 or over and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
Motorcade from Baltimore, Maryland. Next up, he said, You try and go to the best game every week. What are the biggest blowouts you've seen in person, and how did they end up being blowouts? It was so terrible, Cade. Oh, it was bad. Let's see. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, 2022. The final score in this game was 48-0. It was my first and only trip to Kansas State until next week. Hint, hint, hint. It was 48-0. I thought it was going to be the most competitive game we saw all year. The line was under a field goal. Kansas State's down their starting quarterback, mind you. So if anything, I think, man, Gundy's about to come in here and pull one off. They get blanked. It was 35-0 at halftime, Kansas State led. I mean, I yawned. I think I yawned at the end of the first quarter. It was that bad already. And then afterwards, Mike Gundy went to his press conference, and he admitted that they had drastically altered their practice style that week. Basically, what I think he was saying was, I held healthy players out of practice this week because we're so thin. And I think he's talking about linemen. And you could tell by the way he was talking about it that he knew it was radical. He knew he had made a big mistake. He knew he did not have his team prepared to play. And it showed, because Kansas State boat raced him. Yeah, 48-0. That's the biggest blowout that I've seen. Unless, of course, you want to count the literal national championship game where Georgia beat TCU by a wider margin. I mean, the most Sarah McLachlan special in history. The splattering of the millennium was that national championship game, but this one was a close second. Austin, next from Bluffington, Indiana. Hey, my question's a little off topic, but as someone who enjoys your wrestling references, I'm curious, who's on your Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling? Give me Hulk Hogan, give me Steve Austin, give me Undertaker, and give me Shawn Michaels. That means Flair and Hogan are off. Yes, I know that. I've only got room for four. Those are my four. And deal with it. I wouldn't argue with you, though, if you tried to put Hogan on there. Because pound for pound, that's 1A or 1B is the biggest superstar in the history of the business. I define my Rushmore a little bit different. That's why Hogan wouldn't be on there. But he's standing right there in the on-deck circle. And he's a former baseball player, to hear him tell it. So all's well. AJ is from, I do not believe this, he's from Trenton, Ohio. Late kick. AJ said, which team or story or year should they make a college football movie about next? I've been on record as saying 2007 is long overdue to have its own movie made about it. And I've got an idea. So I don't just think it should be a documentary, although I'd watch that. What I think they should do is they should take the BCS people, just basically take evil, nameless, faceless, corporate college football bureaucratic types and have them be the antagonist in the movie the whole time. And they're hoping to get a mega matchup in their championship game at the end of the year, right? Because they want to maximize the revenue and the TV ratings and all that. All right, so they're watching as the weeks unfold, and there's chaos and carnage everywhere, and every week looks like a 15-car pileup, and you get closer and closer to the championship game, and they get into the last weekend of the season, and it's like that scene in Waterboy where Vicky Valancourt told Lynn Swan exactly what the final score is going to be, and he realizes it's going to be the case, and he looks over at her, and she just nods at him. That's the look they have. They have the Lynn Swan look on their faces as they realize they could be headed for a Missouri versus West Virginia national championship game. And then all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens. And then the unthinkable happens again. And they end up with Ohio State versus LSU. So really, kind of the bad guys in the movie end up winning. But it would still make a really good movie. But if you just want to do the documentary, that's fine too. Okay, people, I had to re-record this whole thing. My apologies, but I did want to get a lot of thoughts out on the Saban Capitol Hill hearings. Do me one favor. Check and see if you subscribe to this, because if you're listening, you probably think you have, but a lot of you haven't, because our numbers indicate more than 50% of our listeners and viewers are not subscribed, and it's free, and it doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't spam you or anything, but it helps us. So make sure if you want to keep the show free, you just subscribe, and that's it. It takes 3 nanoseconds, and then you're done. Appreciate you guys so much. For myself, for Bradley, the associate, director Colin, producer Jesse, take care, have a great rest of your day, and God bless.
Must be 21 or over and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.